Folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott back with us once again, always giving us updates. Thank you so much for your time. You can go below this video, andweknow.com/gold at any moment. Click on that link, and you will be able to reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team and get support and ask the same questions that we're asking here, anything that has to do with precious metals especially. And just so proud of the support that we received from you over the year and continuing on. So we've got some great updates to do today. We're going to get right to them. How are you doing, first of all, before we get there?
Oh, I'm doing really great. I mean, it's Independence Week, right? It's the 4th of July week. And,
oh, yeah.
And you know, I've been thinking a lot about it this week. And something struck me, LT, as I was watching the debate. So I don't even know what you would call it, but I was watching the debate and I had this meme in my head that's like, okay, we just watched the last episode of The End of America, right? It's like, oh my word, it was terrible. Yeah. Poor Biden was up there, and obviously he's got dementia or something because he looks scared to death. Mm-hmm. He looked like there wasn't anything going on. And then there's Jill Biden, Dr. Jill, who's kind of whispering into his ear as a wife should. And he's listening to her as a good husband should, right? That, no, you need to keep running. But that's evil because mm-hmm. the poor guy is scared half to death and he's not even with it, right? But she loves being on the cover of Vogue magazine. And, you know, I think she loves being the first lady, but not good for America. It's really not good for America. And I think the quote of the entire debate was from Trump when Biden said something. It's like he faded off at the end and Trump said, I don't know what he said at the last part of that sentence, but neither does he. It's like, oh, my word. This is so sad. But here's the thing. You've got now five Democrats that are wanting to actually be the president. Right. So whether it's Michelle Obama or Gretchen from Michigan, or whether it's Newsom from California, mm-hmm. or whether it's Kamala or Hillary, or I mean, you've got five of them that are all saying, we want to be it.
Yep.
I have a hard time believing that Biden's still going to be there at the time of the election when 13 or 14 top Democrats basically came out and said, he's not mentally there. I mean, how can you backpedal from that kind of a statement, right? So so you look at what comes next, and it's somebody with the exact same ideology, which is Obama's ideology.
Right.
Which I'm going to paraphrase his words and what he said over the years, but here it is. So you can correct me if you think I'm wrong on my paraphrase. If we put a bunch of toxic sewer into the system, create questions in the hearts and minds of people that they start questioning the leadership, then we've won the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think as a community organizer, and that's what Obama really is, but he's still running the show. And every one of these people that now want to be the president on under the Democrat side, they follow that mantra to a T. Mm-hmm. They're devotees of this Obama mantra of create questions, destroy leadership, destroy the social fabric of America, and then we've won the game. I mean, that's what a community organizer does, is you create discord to create unity in your own little group, right? Mm-hmm. So I view every single one of these, whether it's Biden who can't complete a sentence anymore, or any of these other people that are more eloquent that can complete a sentence, but it's the same ideology that's backing it.
Right.
So, but in the midst of all of it, you never know what's going to happen, right? But Trump is for truth. And it's the same battle. It's the same spirit that he's fighting against. And I think people will see that. And what we've seen with the Supreme Court decision over the last few days is, you know what? Presidential immunity, that was a huge decision.
Mm-hmm.
Where the decisions of the president are immune which would mean J6 and all kinds of other stuff. Now the left is saying, what in the world are we going to do now? Right. But now personal issues outside of that executive privilege should be not immune. Right. I mean, all of us, if we do something wrong, we should be able to be, you know, accused of it. Right. But, but under presidential privilege, where there's national security issues and everything else, has to stay off the table.
Right.
So what people like AOC don't understand is this applies to their president as well. Mm. Right. But now she's wanting to impeach Supreme Court justices for this decision because for the immediate time frame, it doesn't measure up with what they want done.
Right.
But you know what? It's all going to come back to them. And I think the Supreme Court made a wise decision. And what we're going to see is who knows? Who knows who's going to be run for president under the Democratic Party? But I don't care. I really don't care because Trump is speaking truth and it's amazing. And it's the same spirit that's being fought against, right? It doesn't matter if they're young and eloquent, old and eloquent, or can't even run a sentence together. It's still the same spirit, which is an attack against our freedom, attack against our religious views. And it's an attack against Jesus is what it is. I mean, I saw this. I'm sick of June because it's Pride Month, right? Veterans don't get a month. They get a day.
That's right.
And they fought and died for our country. Yeah. But you know, gender identity stuff gets a whole month. And I saw this pride parade in Toronto, which has been all over the internet, and people decided we're going to celebrate our pride by walking around naked.
Right.
Thousands of people walking around naked. It's like, what? In any world, you would be arrested for indecent exposure, but because it's Pride Month, no, it's okay, right? It's like, what kind of a moral degradation type of society have we come to, right? But this is all physical manifestations of a spiritual battle that's being waged, right?
That's right.
And I'm looking at the debate as kind of a microcosm of everything that's happening. It's like we've got truth and we've got lies.
That's right.
And I'm watching this, and Jake Tepper, one of the moderators of CNN, with a straight face, like he's talking about logical science, says, we've only had 20% inflation since Biden became president. It's like, what? I actually laughed out loud, LT. And then I decided maybe I shouldn't laugh. Maybe I should cry. And then I laughed again. It's like, oh, my word. I don't know what to take of the statement. Do they really believe that? Do they really believe in 3.5 years we've only had 20% inflation?
Mm.
When you go to the grocery store and every person, every family in America thinks, what? The hamburger that I'm buying is like triple the price.
Right.
The eggs that I'm buying have gone from $1.99 a dozen to like $7 a dozen. And there's this viral video that went on social media about this kid who, you know, when you buy something on Amazon and you have this shopping cart,
right,
you can go back and press the button that says, do you want to repurchase this whole shopping list? Right.
Right.
So the shopping list prior was like, call it $115. If he pressed the button that says, yeah, I want to rebuy everything in the shopping list from 3 years ago, it was over $400.
Oh, my goodness.
To me, that's 185% increase in prices, not 20%, like what Jake Tepper, the amazing CNN moderator, was talking about, or what Biden's bragging about. America's hurting, LT.
Yeah.
They're hurting bad, and families can't afford to live. And the government's lying about the numbers, right? And it's like, do people believe that anymore? I don't think so.
Mm.
Because their wallets speak louder than political lies or political rhetoric. And this is why I have this joyful spirit in me that this debate, whether you viewed it as the last episode of America, I think it's the next chapter of what God wants to bring to America, which is shedding light and exposing the darkness and bringing truth into the hearts and minds of people. And people are waking up to that fact, right? So one of the stories that I was researching for this show was what's going on in Russia, right? So we have to take a step back in history, which you and I have covered a lot over the last year, but it has to do with economic sanctions, right? So when the Russia-Ukraine conflict started, Biden put this economic sanction on Russia that said, hey, no more bank wires going in and out of Russia. We're going to starve your people out. Well, what does that do? If you were the president of Russia, LT, and somebody, other country, was trying to starve out your people, would you be happy or would you be ticked?
I would be upset.
You'd be upset. I mean, so is Putin, right? Whether you like Putin or hate Putin, he's upset because he wants to protect his people. So he went to China. And President Xi of China said, so what? We've got 50% of the world's population. We've got the SIPS program. So what about SWIFT? We'll take care of you. So he did. 3 weeks ago, another massive set, even bigger than that, of economic sanctions went upon Russia, which is 300 of them. 300 economic sanctions trying to destroy the will of the Russian people. Now, don't take what I'm saying as I agree or disagree with Russia. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It has to do with what does Putin think about these economic sanctions?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting more and more ticked, right? So now, 4 days ago, another set of economic sanctions came out. And I sent you this article because you and I were talking about it. And there's now, it's not against Russia, because I was talking to Laura Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been following this whole BRICS thing for quite some time. BRICS has been around forever. I mean, not forever, but for a long time.
Right.
Prior to the Russia-Ukraine conflict, right? So, but when Biden did that first economic sanction, it married Russia and China politically, economically, socially, everything, right? Because now Russia needed China to have its people survive. So now they're connected at the hip, right? So what happens next? Well, BRICS nations started because of economic sanctions. That's why they wanted to, when the West, when London, when New York, when the United States, when the Treasury Department puts economic sanctions on a country, and I'm not saying that in a time of war, economic sanctions are bad, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of the mechanisms to defeat an opponent during war. But you have to know your audience. You have to read the room, right? If you were to throw an economic sanction on the Dominican Republic, per se, right, and say, okay, we're going to put economic sanctions on you, and all they produce is coconuts, pineapples, sugarcane, and cigars, right? It's like, who cares, right?
Right.
But when you put an economic sanction on Russia, who has a leader who has a nuclear arsenal at his disposal, who produces most of the aluminum in the world, most of the oil and gas in the world, and most of the raw materials and commodities needed for production in the world. It's like, know your audience, know the nature of the leader of that country before you do something, because there's going to be ramifications of it. What are the ramifications of Putin? He's already determined, as of 2014, after the 2009, economic collapse in America, he noticed something. He said, wow, America's printing money like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
They're causing inflation. Their dollar is being devalued. I don't trust their currency anymore, right? So he actually, in 2014, put together what's called the Euro-Asian Economic Coalition. I think that's the name for it. I might be wrong on the terminology, but it's basically his version of NATO or the European Union, right? They want to put these countries together to actually minimize the impact of economic sanctions. So then in 2021, Putin started to de-dollarize the world. This wasn't a thing that just happened, right? He started using that terminology to eliminate the West and the dollar dominance globally. Well, at that point, it was just Putin spouting off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now when the BRICS nations, as of January 1st of this year, added Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Iran, Argentina, and other countries. It's like, okay, they really did de-dollarize the world because they eliminated the petrodollar.
Right.
So when you put economic sanctions, any of them, on Russia, you're actually accelerating the de-dollarization of the world. I'm not saying in this little monologue that you have to agree or disagree with economic sanctions. In a time of war, it's a normal thing to do. But I'm saying you have to know your audience, and there's going to be ramifications of it, right? Because Putin is basically the spokesperson for the BRICS nations, and their goal is to de-dollarize the world. Putin is so extreme in his opinions that he's willing to hurt his own people to get rid of the dollar completely.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the numbers have come out, and we're pushing almost $1 trillion of aid towards Ukraine, you know, which is the country that he's at war with. It's like, wouldn't that tick you off?
Yeah.
If this other country is funding the person that you're at war with, you're giving them, you know, $850 billion worth of aid.
Right.
Right. It's like, well, yeah, it would tick you off. And so every time that happens, it's not like we're putting sanctions on the Dominican Republic. Like I said, we're putting sanctions on something that's completely different. Somebody who actually has the tools and the mechanism to de-dollarize the world.
Right.
So this is where I don't care if people agree or disagree. I'm saying perception is reality, and you're looking at your opponent. They actually have the ability to do so. And the dollar at this point, LT, is toast, right? So who else thinks that? Well, kind of the rest of the world. So this chart that you have on the screen shows kind of the moral decay of America.
Right.
I mean, that's the best way for me to explain it, because in 2000, the United States had the most competitive economy in the world. Like, we were the kingpin, right? By 2010, we got down to third. It's like, okay, at that point, it's like, man, we're not number one anymore. We should do something to get ourselves back to number one. It's not the end of the world, but you know, you got some work to do, right?
Right.
Well, by 2024, we're not even in the top 10. It's like, brother, we're America. The most amazing economy in the history of the world. We're not even in the top 10 anymore. But why? You know, as an economist, I wanted to look at why. Well, to me, as I was pondering this, I'm thinking, well, we've got diversity, equality, inclusionary, you know, social policies, and employers in America are now forced to hire people based on a social agenda rather than the quality of their work. Of course, we're not going to be in the top 10 most competitive nations in the world with that kind of a theology or message or ideology, whatever you want to call it. To me, the reason I called it theology is because this DEI kind of mantra is a religion to them, right? It's like they want to take God out of everything, which is why they had the parade in Toronto,
right.
Where people were marching around naked and everyone thought it was okay because people were celebrating their diversity. But this is not good for the economy. And as a Christ follower, as somebody who loves Jesus, I want to be fair to everybody. I want to love everybody.
Yep.
Right. It's not that, but when it comes to the economy, it's like, you've got to make wise decisions for your business. And as an economy, being a Christian and loving somebody in spite of themselves, showing them the love of Jesus, because we love people not because of where they are, because of who they were created to be. And God created them to be something different. I'm no different than you. I'm no different than anybody else. We can make mistakes in life, and this plumb line, God brings us back to where he wants us to be and how he created us to be, right? So we're celebrating being the opposite of God in this country, which is sad to me. It's sad. So it's no wonder that we've fallen out of competitiveness, because we're not following God's laws of nature and God's laws of success. Yeah. And these amazing biblical principles that cause us to be productive and successful, right? So we're falling out of of prominence globally. And so I was thinking over the weekend, it's like, oh man, Putin wants to de-dollarize the world. He wants to kick the dollar out of the US out of the sandbox. So they're the only kid remaining playing in there, right? Well, he doesn't have to work very hard because Biden is already de-dollarizing the world by his policies.
That's right.
So it's like Biden and Putin are almost like working together to kill the US economy, which is sad to me, right? So then how is this manifesting itself in real life? Like the article that you have on the screen, the housing market is being destroyed.
Mm.
So I don't care what kind of jumbled nonsense Biden was talking about in the debate, which I couldn't understand half of it. But the gist of it was, we've won the war on inflation. We've got increasing job numbers. We've got increasing wages. We're actually doing a good job. It's like, no, logic and the numbers don't actually show that, right? So the housing market is about to be actually destroyed worse than it's ever been, LT. So when you've got declining wages, increasing interest rates to slow down inflation that they're creating, right? People can't afford to buy homes. You know, because most people don't pay cash for houses. They have to finance them.
Right.
Well, banks are undercapitalized. Like we talked about last week, JP Morgan Chase, Citi, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, they're all being chastised for not having a good plan B if their derivatives debt bubble explodes. So they have to submit a new resolution, an orderly resolution plan that complies with U.S. bankruptcy code. It's like, what? The four largest financial institutions in North America have to come up with a plan that complies with U.S. bankruptcy code? This isn't Silicon Valley Bank. This isn't Signature Bank anymore. This is the four largest banks in America, right? And so for Biden to say the economy is good, it's a bald-faced lie.
That's right.
And this is what I'm not fearful of anything, LT. You know that, and you're not either. But when Trump wins, which I fully believe that he will, because truth is going to expose the darkness.
Yep.
What does he inherit? He inherits something ugly, right? He inherits what the enemy has put together in this country and other people have complied with that have destroyed the fabric of America, just not just economically, religiously, but socially as well. It's going to be hard to recover from that. But in the housing market, people can't afford to buy homes because wages are down. Unemployment is up. Taxes are sky high. Interest rates and the cost of borrowing are up. So basically they can't afford homes. So when that happens, the home sellers, people who are selling their homes, have to lower their price to compete with other people who are trying to get out of their homes as quickly as possible because they can't afford them.
Right.
Right. So the housing market starts coming down. But unless you have immaculate credit, which not many people in America do, banks are unwilling to lend to you because they're undercapitalized.
Mm.
So now we've got this problem. So what do people do if they can't afford to buy a house? They go to rent. Well, because everybody's going to rent, the occupancy rate at rentals and apartment buildings and single family dwellings and everything is at a sky high level. So rents are going through the roof. It's just a function of economics 101, supply and demand.
That's right.
So people can't afford to rent. They can't afford to buy houses. They're lowering the prices of houses to sell quicker than the other person. It's like, man, LT, the housing market is ripe for destruction. And this falls into line with what Putin wants to do in de-dollarizing the world and why those four big massive banks had to submit a new resolution plan to the Fed and the FDIC. It's not because of their commercial real estate. It's not because of their residential real estate or their credit card debt. It's because of their derivatives debt, like we've talked about.
Okay.
I mean, this is 50. Chase and Goldman Sachs have each over $55 trillion worth of derivatives debt.
Ooh.
$55 trillion. America, as a country, from 1776 until now, has $37.8 trillion of debt. And these institutions in and of themselves have more debt than the entirety of the entire history of America accumulated. I mean, this is bad. I don't care how good of an orderly resolution plan they can give to the Fed or the FDIC. Nobody in the world could pay off $55 trillion worth of debt. I don't care how good it is. It might be the most immaculate resolution plan ever devised. They can't pay it off. So I think we're running for another bank failure moment. And you know who else believes that? Hedge fund managers in America. So you and I were talking about this article where they don't believe the rhetoric that came out of the debate, as nor do you or I, because it's just common sense, right? But how do I know? So this recent article that just came out, hedge fund managers are selling or shorting stocks at the greatest rate, fastest rate in over 2 years. Well, it's like 2 years, Kirk, what does that matter? It's only 2 years. Look at the history of America. Well, what was 2 years ago? So let's look at why it was faster 2 years ago. What was happening? COVID, the worst economic shutdown in the history of America, right? So now this acceleration of selling off of assets is greater than what it was during COVID.
Oh, wow.
So what does that mean? It means that they don't believe the nonsense coming out of Biden's mouth that the economy is going to do good. Because why do you invest? Why do I invest? Why do any of the viewers, the 100,000 viewers that are watching this show, why do we invest? Because we expect company A or B or C or whatever we're investing in has good management. There's a good economy. When I invest in that company, it's going to do well for me down the road, and I'm going to increase my retirement assets.
That's right.
That's why we invest.
Mm-hmm.
So what are these companies doing? They're selling.
Oh, boy.
These hedge funds, which are smart people, they're brilliant people who manage billions of dollars of assets for their investors. They're saying, we're getting out of Dodge.
Ooh.
We're going to sell now, because they don't take the same view as what Biden was talking about in the debate, that the economy is growing. They think it's going to shrink.
Right. I mean,
this is just prudence. It's if I thought that something was going to grow, I'd invest in it and I'd stick with it. But if I thought that it was going to come down, I'd lock in my profits now because I want to get out of Dodge before the collapse happens.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what hedge funds are doing right now. They're getting out of Dodge. They're locking in their profits. And so when you look at the housing market, you look at the hedge funds and what those smart people are doing, they're getting out of Dodge. You look at what Putin's doing, and he's ticked, beyond ticked, that we've now got economic sanctions on Russia. Okay, so the economic sanctions on Russia, LT, this is actually bigger than any economic sanction we've done, because when the BRICS nations went together to avoid the ultimate turmoil of economic sanctions on any individual country, they figured, okay, collectively, we'll withstand that and we'll minimize the damage. So first, Russia gets kicked out of SWIFT. Then they have 300 economic sanctions put on them. What happened a few days ago? The Treasury Department of the United States said, we're going to slap economic sanctions on companies or financial institutions that do business with Russia. It's like, what? This is beyond the scope of a country's economic sanctions. This is now companies that do business with that country are now going to get sanctioned. So here's where I was shocked, is like the Bank of China, probably the largest bank in the BRICS consortium, they actually said, we're not going to do business in Russia anymore. Because they're afraid of the sanctions from London and the United States, especially the Treasury Department, that said we're going to attack companies or financial institutions that support Russia, because America has this, I mean, I hate to sound crass, but we have this weird, politicians in America have this weird love affair with Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yep. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I really don't get it. When Zelensky is saying, religious organization in Ukraine is outlawed. We're not going to allow this. We're not. And in a weird sense, Putin is saying, no, we'll allow churches in Russia. So who's worse? It's but we're supporting Ukraine. We got this weird relationship with them. And so we're destroying Russia economically. So Putin's getting ticked. But But the Bank of China said, we're going to suspend all operations in Russia because we don't want to have our business shut down because of sanctions. What does the Bank of China, the Russian division of it, do, LT, in Russia? They control all of the currency exchange between the yuan and the ruble.
Okay.
So two BRICS nations, you know, controlling it to get rid of the US dollar. They're, you know, they're going back and forth with each other, trading in their own currency.
Right.
The Bank of China handles that. They suspended operations. So now Putin's got to be really ticked off because this is truly going to hurt his people. It's going to hurt Russia. It's not that economic sanctions don't work. They can work, but here's where we started the show with, you have to know your audience. And okay. What does Putin have? A nuclear arsenal of warships off of the coast of Miami, a nuclear sub off the coast of Miami, the ability to control natural resources, oil and gas and aluminum and everything that's needed for manufacturing comes out of Russia, including fertilizer for the agricultural community in America.
Oh boy.
You just say no more. Well, then our yields come down on our crops. We can't produce things anymore because a lot of it's coming from Russia. It's like we just declared economic war on steroids with Russia by this new sanction that says we're now going to sanction companies that do business with the country that is at war with supposedly the country that we're supporting. Right. So there's ramifications of every decision we make. Just like I tell my kids all the time, it's like, you know, there's freedom in Christ. We can make decisions. We're not robots.
Right.
You're going to make good decisions. You're going to make bad decisions.
That's right.
Good decisions come with blessing. Bad decisions come with curses or, you know, consequences. Just like the wages of sin is death. I mean, Jesus was smart, obviously, in what he told us.
Yep.
But the decisions that we're making politically, geopolitically, LT, spell disaster for the U.S. economy. I there's no other way to put it. But in all of this, we have to understand God is still on the throne. Jesus is still on the throne. God's in control. We understand that nothing of this that we're talking about is a surprise to him, but he gives us opportunities and ways where we can thrive and where we can succeed and we can live under his abundance and under the shadow of his wing with that protection and safety. We just have to take a leap of faith, act accordingly, and in a weird sense, take the pillars that are causing all of these foundational issues in the world to deteriorate and collapse. It's like, all right, doesn't matter. That's man's economy. That's not God's economy.
That's right.
Right. We can actually thrive and he gives us the ideas to do so. And that's why you and I shout from the rooftops every single week. There's things that we can do to protect and preserve and to grow and to thrive. And that's where precious metals come in this world that we're living in.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's why when we watched, you know, just last year, bringing over our IRA over to silver from cash, I mean, we watched that increase quite a bit, bigger than most folks would even imagine on the monetary side if they'd say that your IRA would actually grow in the stock market. I mean, depending on this market, and especially with all the things that are going on, it's really not too smart nowadays.
Yeah.
But moving to silver and gold is biblical, and I've noticed that a lot more, learned a lot from you. And, man, what a growing phase for many of us, and we're just appreciative of you guys and what you're doing for all of us in the community. Remember, folks, you can go below this video to andweknow.com/gold. Reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott. He also has a phone number. What's that number again?
720-605-3900. So 720-605-3900. Or just go to andweknow.com/gold.
Yep.
Right. And then you can actually get to a online submission form. Gets us to the same place as the phone number. But we want to help you. We want to hear your concerns, hear your fears, hear your goals, hear your dreams, and help you plan out a strategy for success moving forward, using precious metals to hedge against all of the nonsense that we've talked about on this show.
Right. That's right. Yeah, it's amazing. We appreciate your updates, Dr. Kirk Elliott, and looking forward to our next update soon. There's a lot going on. Man, it's an amazing update today, and we see the shifts around the world. and so much more. And just so grateful to you and your research.
Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure being with you.
All right. God bless.
God bless.